Welcome to Mormon Channel Daily. I'm your host, Lisa Hollinger. Thank you so much for joining us today. Today, I wanted to talk about fatherhood, and I just want to start right off by saying that I'm aware that when I talk about this, that not everyone has an ideal relationship or situation with their father. And so I just want you to know that I do recognize that. And on a personal note, my own parents divorced when I was young, and I didn't grow up with a father in the home, so I know the loss of that daily interaction. But there is such a powerful effect that a father can have in the home. And that's what I want to highlight in today's show, is that powerful role of a father. And in my situation, or if maybe you didn't grow up in an ideal situation, it's good to remember that every generation can become stronger and better. And so I wanted to start off with a quote that I found. It was in the Ensign from June 2002. It's called Father, Consider Your Ways. And it's an article by the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. It was originally published as a pamphlet entitled A Message from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints back in December of 1973. So it's kind of fun that they put it in a more recent Ensign so we could know about it. This is the quote. It says, quote, "Brethren, have you considered the challenge it is to be a successful father? It takes hard work and planning to rear your children in righteousness and have unity with your wife, to build a constant feeling of love and harmony in the home. Why is being a successful, righteous father such a challenge for almost any man? The Lord's plan of salvation requires that you pass through trials in this mortal life. Those trials seem to be greatest when you reach fatherhood, but be assured, fatherhood, in a sense, is an apprenticeship to godhood," close quote. And I just want to repeat that last line one more time. Quote, "Fatherhood, in a sense, is an apprenticeship to godhood," close quote. And I loved that when I read it. I thought that was a really powerful statement on the role of fathers. Yesterday, I promised that we were going to go behind the scenes and meet the two filmmakers, Christopher Clark and Patrick Parker, who produced a recent Mormon message about fathers. It's called Earthly Father, Heavenly Father. Christopher, Patrick, thank you so much for joining us today. It's so great to have you both here. I told the listeners yesterday that the first time I saw this Mormon message was on the big screen, and I loved it. So it's great to have you joining us, and appreciate you taking the time to come on the show today. I wanted to start off by asking you the background of you two filming together. I understand you've been friends for a long time.
We met in junior high. I moved into the street, and we would end up after school. Other kids would be doing other stuff, and we would get our camera, and we'd start pretending to do like presidential debates, and we'd just do short little films and commercials. And
yeah, we were in a TV production class together in high school, and we did all sorts of zany stuff that that now you just laugh at. But
I mean, they're only for the archives for the family when we die.
But as you were frying your perspective and your thought process when it comes to filmmaking, and I think that's what we've done over the last 20 something years, is refine that, what we want to say, you know. And it's not just, we used to do a lot of copycat stuff, and then eventually you understand that you have a voice, and that voice is important to share, and that it's in line with, you know, Heavenly Father's vision for you.
What was the inspiration for writing this piece? How did it come about?
So, you know, the idea that when I was writing the script, I just was trying to, I just purely wrote it from my experience as a father. So it's a little biased in that sense. But the idea that, you know, my children would wake up, I'd watch them, they'd wake up, and, you know, their groggy eyes and groggy faces, and they just open the fridge. And they just knew that food was going to be there. Like, they didn't worry about it. And the reason why I wrote that into the script is because I think so often we get distracted thinking that we are the true providers of our own good and of our own substance. And in a certain degree we are, but we aren't also. We really aren't the true providers of all good gifts. And so I just truly believe that Heavenly Father is the great giver of all good things, and that He does provide us for us when we just simply do what He asks us to do. Sometimes we worry, like, we have to go take care of everything, that we're in charge of everything. But the reality is that God just says, keep my commandments, keep the covenants that you've made with me. And yes, you'll have to work. You'll have to do your part, but I will take care of you. And that's the childlike faith I saw in my children when they'd open the fridge and just expect food to be there. And that's, for me, it was a great lesson to me of how I should exercise greater faith in trusting that God will take care of me, my circumstances, without me having to worry about every single detail.
Patrick, what about you? What are your thoughts on that?
To me, that this concept is powerful because, as the older you get, I think, and especially as you become a father, you start to understand the way that God works with us. And for me, I didn't quite understand that until I became a father, until I got old enough to see that, you know, God does certain things or interacts with us in certain ways simply to guide us and to teach us and to help us. And previous to becoming a father, I would have thought, why is he doing that? Or what is the point of this? But there's such a powerful lesson in really thinking about, you know, when I discipline my kids, I'm doing it because I love them and I want them to get on the straight path. You know, that's why I do it. And they may think it's harsh or they may not understand why I'm doing it. But for me, I have to stop and pause and realize, okay, well, that's exactly what God's doing with me. I mean, his commandments aren't, to punish me. His commandments are to help me, to guide me. And so it's given me better perspective. And that's why I think this concept has been pretty powerful.
What do you hope people or fathers will gain out of this Mormon message?
Being a father or becoming a father helped me to understand my father in heaven better. And so I hope that, you know, through this message, fathers out there see that, the way that God deals and interacts with them as they deal and interact with their children, you know, it's that big eternal circle. And so, I think for me, that's just a very important insight in how God deals with us and how we deal with our kids. So,
Christopher, and what about you? What do you hope viewers gain from watching Earthly Father, Heavenly Father?
I would say that what I would hope that fathers would get out of it is just that simple parallel, like Patrick's talking about, that many times we feel like God isn't there, but in reality, he's just off to work. And at one point, he will come home. There will be a reunion. So there is that idea that sometimes creeps into our mind that that we forget that Heavenly Father and us are just distanced right now by space and time, so to speak. But there is a way to lessen that gap through prayer and those parallels are there, I think, the way we live our life with our children and how we have to leave them at times and be absent from them, as he is with us at times as far as, you know, physical presence is concerned.
So how did you two find the location for the filming as well as the family? It's a beautiful backdrop, and especially a treehouse was kind of one of my favorite parts about that scenery.
We found this farm just, you know, outside the border of Utah in Idaho, and we saw the family, and it just so happened to be a whole family. They had multiple houses. They were brothers and uncles and cousins, and so we were able to select from two families and kind of piecemeal a family, and they were both equally comfortable with each other's homes and each other's parents, so it didn't feel awkward. And so we were able to we actually shot in two different homes, and it was two different families. We mixed kids. And we think it worked out. That's one little interesting tidbit I think people would like to know about. We were like kids in a candy store when we got there. It was just like, it was such, there's so many visual elements to that place. The treehouse, the farm, the greenery was just amazing.
The big windows of the houses, and just both houses were beautiful, and just all of the land that was kind of at our disposal to run through. And so we were like kids. We were running around and looking at all these cool places, and it was just, it was a beautiful location.
Is there anything else fun that we should know about that happened during the filming?
another cool thing is that those kids waking up, that's all real. We got there before they would wake up, and we just camped the camera, and you can tell, especially with the little boy, when he looked, you know, sits up and he turns his head quick. He was totally shocked that we're sitting there in his in the room with the camera. Yeah. He was just like, "Who are these guys?"
One other production note that I just recalled as we were talking, as you're asking about interesting things. One thing is that for me that I enjoyed, we didn't use any lights at all, so it was all natural light. Setting up lights takes time. It's laborious, and you know, it just really, really can reduce the amount of shots you get in a day. So picking the location with the amount of light that it had, the windows and
that
the
was
open
key.
Space really allowed us to just flow freely. And for me, that was a very liberating, a lot of fun that we didn't have to set up lights.
Yeah, it was just a fun shoot.
We just used the beautiful natural light. So
thank you both so much for coming on the show today. It's been wonderful to have you here, and we look forward to seeing more of your great work.
We'll try. Thanks.
If you just joined us, we just finished an interview with Christopher Clark and Patrick Parker, the two filmmakers behind the Mormon message Earthly Father, Heavenly Father. If you haven't had a chance to watch it yet, check it out on our website, mormonchannel.org. Another one of my favorite stories about fathers is one from Elder Christofferson, and I'm going to play that for you in his own words now.
Years ago, when my brothers and I were boys, our mother had radical cancer surgery. She came very close to death. Much of the tissue in her neck and shoulder had to be removed, and for a very long time it was difficult, painful for her to use her right arm. One morning, about a year after the surgery, my father took mother to an appliance store and asked the manager to show her how to use a machine he had for ironing clothes. The machine was called an Ironrite. It was operated from a chair by pressing pedals with one's knees to lower a padded roller against a heated metal surface and turn the roller, feeding in shirts, pants, dresses, and other articles. You can see that this would make ironing, of which there was a great deal in our family of five boys, much easier, especially for a woman with limited use of her arm. Mother was shocked when Dad told the manager they would buy the machine and then paid cash for it. Despite my father's good income as a veterinarian, Mother's surgery and medications had left them in a difficult financial situation. On the way home, my mother was upset. "How can we afford it? Where did the money come from? How will we get along now?" Finally, Dad told her that he had gone without lunches for nearly a year to save enough money. "Now when you iron," he said, "you won't have to stop and go into the bedroom and cry until the pain in your arm stops." She didn't know he knew about that. I was not aware of my father's sacrifice and active love for my mother at the time, but now that I know, I say to myself, there is a man.
I remember when I heard that story for the first time, and I remember I was so touched by the kindness of Elder Christofferson's father to his mother, and the sacrifice that he made for her really touched me at the time when I heard that. And they've actually made a Mormon message out of that. It's called Let Us Be Men. So I have two Mormon messages for you to watch, Earthly Father, Heavenly Father, and Let Us Be Men. And if you have any comments about these two Mormon messages or about our interview with Christopher and Patrick, please feel free to email me, mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org. I welcome your feedback and look forward to hearing from you. And with that, I'm going to leave you with our song of the day, Holy, Holy, Holy by Thurl Bailey. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and have a great day.
Lord God Almighty. blessed is he.
Another episode of Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.